fighting for America.
This is a part of the war on whites that's being launched by the Democratic Party. And the way in which they're launching this war is by claiming that whites hate everybody else.
Fighting for Idaho.
Social Security is not going to be available for most people who are in their, say, under 40 today and maybe even under 50 today. And that's a danger. But we don't have the political ability today to implement changes.
Fighting for you.
That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
What will your verse be?
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you here. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You think about issues, you think about answers, you think about a lot of things, and you really have to wonder, you know, when is ever something going to come here that's really good that you can kind of check out? As I talked about earlier, we talk about San Diego, and we always see the big Comic-Con. We see it now in Salt Lake and Seattle. And right now, we're going to have the Tree City Comic-Con coming here, brought to us by Kevin Hansen, who's in studio with us. We've been talking like for 27 years on the Facebook because nobody speaks to one-on-one anymore. But, Kevin, good to have you with us.
Hey, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right. For those of us that might be in our senior years and maybe we're familiar with Comic-Con, maybe we're not, and don't understand the appeal it has to, just about everybody else, can you describe what Comic-Con is?
Sure. I think Comic-Con originally started, I think I heard you talk about earlier, in San Diego, more of a comic book convention.
Sure.
It allowed fans to go and see the artists and the writers of their favorite books, and gave them an opportunity to buy stuff directly from those artists and, you know, get autographs and whatever. And I think that eventually over the course of time, as movies and television kind of took on those superhero, you know, roles, it started to take on a TV and a movie aspect of it, you know, with sci-fi and different things that brought in the movie stars and the TV stars along with those artists still. And so as time's gone on, I think it's become, a lot of them have become like a pop culture event. So you still have that comic book base as your you know, foundation for the show. But then there's also the celebrities, and there's the people from the TV shows, and there's the UFO guys and the Bigfoot guys. And so it's just kind of a whole pop culture, nerd, sci-fi, fantasy event. So,
people dress up?
I know that in Salt Lake, about 50% of the attendees dress up in some form of video game or movie character or TV show or just whatever. I know I saw a picture of a guy in Salt Lake dressed as Colonel Sanders, and it was just... You know, it's just whatever. It's just
right. It's
to be your alter self, you know, dress up as somebody you just want to be for the day.
Is it a particular age group demographic that appeals to? And, you know, when I was doing the intro, I'm thinking Star Wars to Star Trek to True Blood. It hits a lot of genres, but is there one age group in particular that this is marketed to?
I think that most of the people who dress up and go to these are probably the 17 to 30, early 30-year-old. But there are the 40s and the 50s, because you go back into the Star Trek, you go back into some of those shows. Like, we have some people coming from the Munsters, the Addams Family from the 60s. So you get those people as well who maybe don't dress up like the Munsters but are really attracted to this kind of show just because it brings back their memories of, you know, childhood.
You know, are you surprised by the appeal of somebody from the Munsters or the Addams Family? I'm still addicted to the old Batman series with Adam West and Burt Ward. And remember the old days they used to crank out the Batmobile before they came out with a Batman movie every other year. Are you surprised that those campy type shows, the stars, still draw such incredible crowds?
You know, it is a little bit crazy. I've had some emails from some celebrities who want to come to our show who were on a show for two or three episodes, and they are still 30 years later, you know, a draw. People still come out to see some guy who is on, you know, a different show, Battlestar Galactica or, you know, something.
Starbuck.
Yeah. So you get people who are really interested in those people, but there's also those stars who are really still trying to, you know, be that person to the public. And it's a good relationship, and people love it.
They do indeed here at 580KIDO. And going back to how this has grown, you know, Marvel Comics, Marvel movies has done an excellent job at Comic-Con by you go there and you see the preview of a movie that might not come out for a year or two. Everybody else seems to be copying that. The HBO series, True Blood, always there at Comic-Con. Game of Thrones, always some of these big shows. So, again, it has expanded from just the comic book nerds to just about every facet of entertainment.
Right. And I think that we saw that in the last San Diego show here just a month or so ago, where there was a lot of, you know, TV shows had their trailers or, you know, knew, you know, what was going to be the next thing they were going to do on that show or, you know,
Sons
movies.
Of Anarchy.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think that they're using it as a marketing tool as well to kind of promote their own stuff because that's where their fans are. That's where their, you know, their watchers are.
So let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us about yourself here. And if you have a question about Tree City Comic Con, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Tell us a little bit about you and what you're bringing here to the Treasure Valley.
Well, Tree City Comic Con was really founded by a group of us that just saw the need for something like this in Boise. There are shows here in Boise. They're specific maybe to certain parts of this, of the Comic-Con experience.
You have the Gremlins, the Goblin shows, that type of
thing.
Right, yeah.
And you have Fandemonium, you have Anime Oasis. And really what we wanted to do was kind of be that, if you'll call it, my analogy is a Trivial Pursuit, you know, thing. We're trying to put all the little pieces into one show. And so I think that, you know, a couple of us in our group, we work for a production company here locally, and you know, we just thought, why not do it? Let's do it. And so we kind of just jumped in head first. A lot of the appeal to it is the celebrity. And so we do have about 20 confirmed celebrities coming to the show. We do have a lot of local artists and some artists from across the country and in the region coming, you know, comic book artists. We have Dr. Meldrum from ISU, who's a Bigfoot, internationally known Bigfoot expert. We've got Ben Hansen, who's on the Sci-Fi Network in Fact and Faked. He is a paranormal expert, UFOs, ghosts, that kind of thing. So we're really trying to round it out and just to bring in something for everybody.
All right. So we see these events across the country. Why the Treasure Valley? And you talked a little bit about this, Kev, here at 580KIDO, but saying you're going to do it and then coming up with the capital, you're a businessman. That's tough. I mean, you're bringing in some big names. You've got to get a venue. You've got to promote it. I mean, not everybody's Kevin Miller that's going to have you on here for half an hour. So tell us a little bit about what you want to establish your first year from the business side.
On the business side, it's been very interesting. I think that what we've found is that most of the sponsors that want to come on board want to come on board next year once they see how the first year goes.
Sure.
And I understand that completely. From a business standpoint, we have lots of opportunities. We're putting in gift bags together for all the celebrities. So if there's a local business or a person who makes a unique, you know, kind of a higher-end product that they would like to get in the hands of, you know, some of the people we have coming, we're putting bags together. So there's an opportunity there. If somebody wants to jump on board with sponsorship opportunities, you know, there's some of that available. But I think for us, it's to be fiscally responsible in bringing in people who have that face recognition to the general public and not maybe necessarily strictly to people who only watch The Walking Dead. There's a lot of people out there who want to see people from The Walking Dead, but that's the only show that they may have been in. And for me to try to sell a show to the general public who maybe doesn't know who, you know, some guy is on that show.
I got to tell you, it's one of the hottest shows on TV, but I'm not down with it. I haven't watched it. But people love The Walking Dead. It's almost akin to you only have a certain amount of money, let's say, for advertising for the radio station. Do you do something good and consistent and spread it out, or do you buy one spot on American Idol?
Right. And I think that that's – we have tried to be a little more cost – you know, trying to use our money wisely, bring in celebrities that have a face value, have a name recognition. We are bringing in some people who are maybe more specific to certain genres, but we're also trying to bring in people that will draw the general public. And in 2 weeks, we have a press conference where we're going to announce some fairly major iconic names coming to Boise. And those really are there just to be there for the public, to be there for the general public. So somebody who maybe doesn't follow The Walking Dead or True Blood or Game of Thrones will know who these people are because they grew up with them and they're very iconic. So
sure. Now I've taken a look at your Facebook here at 580KIDO and you've made a few announcements, and look, heaven forbid that we would spoil your news conference there by revealing a lot of things, but can you reveal a couple folks that are coming here?
At this point, some of the contracts aren't final,
mm-hmm.
and we really want to have a big splash. I will say that some of the names
is there a bigger splash than here with the Miller program?
I would say that some of my favorites so far, Jim Cummings, who's the voice of Winnie the Pooh,
okay.
and he does 400 other cartoons. He does most of the celebrities who come here also do an hour of Q&A, so people can go into a theater setting and sit down and listen to them talk about whatever it is that they want to talk about, and then ask them questions. And one of the things that Jim will do at some of his shows is he'll do a reading, and I've seen one where he reads the Star Wars script as Darth Vader in the voice of Winnie the Pooh. So we're going to have him do stuff like that while he's here.
That's the cool thing, and we've seen this in some of the other venues, that you have the Q&A. Tell us why that's important.
I think it allows the fan to really connect on maybe a more of a personal level. They obviously can go up and, you know, part of the economics of these shows, or they go up and get autographs from those people. And the celebrities will take some time. I think some of them are a little more sign it and go, but some of them like to sit and chit-chat and have a conversation with those people. But I think that just to be able to ask them specific questions that, you know, maybe it's a question that I've had about, you know, some character on a show that I really want to know about, it gives me an opportunity to sit down and really feel like it's a little more of a personal, you know, Q&A with that person.
Right. Like if I was a big fan of the 70s Battlestar Galactica, I would ask them about the, you know, the cyborgs and working with them. Something that I guess hit us as in our impressionable ages. Is this one of the reasons why Comic-Con, Tree City Comic-Con, and others resonate with us, because we watch these characters in our impressionable years and they're heroes to us and they always remain that way?
Yeah, I think so. And it's funny to me watching some of these shows now. They weren't the best made shows.
Right.
But they really kind of formed us who we are. You know, I grew up watching cartoons, you know, I love the Looney Tunes, love the, you know, Scooby-Doo and all that kind of stuff. And those things really kind of take me back to when I was, you know, 5, 6, 10 years old. And I think that it's kind of like that. You hear about people, you know, there's a smell that takes you back to a certain place. I think that these shows kind of, these people take you back to a place where maybe you feel a little more innocent. And
look, that's not a bad thing these days. Coming up, we'll talk more about Tree City Comic Con. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Written in these walls are the stories.
580KIDO, talking about Tree City Comic Con as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580KIDO. Coming up, your chance to win tickets to see Shrek at the Music Theater of Idaho. Certainly a great production. We'll be giving away a family four-pack as we roll along. Kevin Hansen with us, Tree City Comic Con. One thing that has bothered me about this state from a solutions perspective is that we don't give incentives to the film industry. And I know it's been kind of tried before. You take a look at how New Mexico and North Carolina are killing it by bringing in movie stuff, and people say, well, they give it away. House of Cards getting huge concessions from the state of Maryland. But I got to believe that if you give these companies a reason, a financial incentive to come to Idaho, we could be right up there with them.
Right. And I think that, you know, historically with Clint Eastwood having such a presence in Sun Valley and even, you know, Bronco Billy here in Boise, you know, I think, I don't know what his connection was with the area, but you would think that with as many people that live in Sun Valley or McCall that, you know, they would be able to bring stuff. But I know in the past I've reached out to the Idaho Film Commission, Film Council, whatever it is, a number of years ago about some projects I was wanting to do. And I just didn't feel like there was a support system or a structure here in Idaho to support film. And it could be different now. It's been years, but I think it would be awesome to have, you know, that here. I think people come to Boise and they love it. I know, you know, like George Kennedy moved here, you know, because of his children living here. And
Matt Damon has an affinity for the area as well. You got Val Kilmer running around.
Yeah, it would seem to me that this would be a great place. I think it's a beautiful city you know, and just the area. There's such a diverse geographic, you know, area around here that I think you could do a lot of stuff. But
certainly we have a lot of people that used to live in California here. Getting back to your venue, where's it going to be?
It's going to be at Expo Idaho, out at the fairgrounds. We're taking up the main expo, the three wings of that main expo hall, plus two buildings that are kind of adjacent to it.
Well, we talk about geeks and freaks.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually need more room, I think, for some of the rooms. So, you know, one of the things that we would like to do, and we're going to really talk to the local school districts about this, is having on that Friday morning, that first day, having those Q&As be real specific for students that want to get into acting or to get into voice work or art, and have those people who are in that industry right there in front of them that they can ask those questions to.
Or like me, you know, I'd like to get into radio. Let's go to the phones, and we go to Pat, who has a question for our friend Kevin Hansen here at 580 KIDO. Hello, Pat.
Oh, good morning. I'm calling from way back when. I worked at WTAE in Pittsburgh when they were making The Living Dead, and I just wondered if any of those people that were originally involved are going to be here for Comic-Con.
You know, I don't think we've reached out or had anyone contact us from The Living Dead. We do have a number of shows being represented from the 60s, as far back as I'm aware of, the Addams Family, the Munsters, I'll even say the Big Valley, without going any farther. But I haven't had any...
There was a guy named Carl Hardman that was pretty inventive, and I think he was involved, and then we had a morning man then, his name was Jason Flake, I don't know if that was his real name or not, and a gal named Marilyn that was heavily involved too, and I think they were all pretty much involved in that movie, and I just wondered if any of them were going to show up. And I also wanted to ask you, is there any room in the Comic-Con for any of the anime things that goes on now? I know they have their own conventions and things.
You know, we have reached out to those conventions here locally to bring a presence at our show, not only to give them booth space to promote their shows for the future, but also just because they know what they're doing. They're very, you know, these people in the Fandemonium and the Animo Oasis, they're very knowledgeable about their area, and they could really help us. So we have reached out to them a bit, and probably will do that some more here in the next month or two.
I know when they have the anime conventions, my granddaughter is an artist, and when they have the conventions, I know she's always at them, and they get quite a big following here. And I know they have huge ones. They had one in Long Beach a while back that was like 40,000 people showed up.
You know who this is. This is gun-toting Pat. She carries a Derringer in her brassiere.
I would say that if anyone is an artist locally, especially, that would like to be part of the show, just email me at kevin@treecitycomiccon.com, and we will make sure that they're at the show.
Pat, you still carrying in your brassiere?
Will you get off of that?
That was just a visual that I have to share.
I'll tell you what, one of these days I'm going to go out and buy a real holster for that, and then I'll come and show you that one too.
Well, that'll be very exciting. I'll bring the video.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 580KIDO. So, Kevin, let's get back to just some of this. So we've got some people coming from some of these great shows. What really, I mean, it seems to me everybody has a show. When you're looking at who's a draw, who isn't, from the Bigfoot guy at ISU to people from the Addams Family or the Munsters, what's the hook?
The hook for each individual person, I think, is different. I think that, you know, we bring in Dr. Meldrum from ISU, and there is a following of Bigfoot people here. And that's what I think we found, is that as we bring in one person, you have all of these people coming out of the woodwork who are fans of that particular person. One of the people we have not announced yet that's actually a writer, Richard Paul Evans, who has a great series, a science fiction series for young adults called Michael Vay. You know, once we announce him, because there's a guy we haven't announced, there's a huge following for just that series. So I don't know. It's just interesting to me that we announce one person and there's just huge fans of that person for whatever it is they do. And that's been the unique thing for me, just to watch that, you know, process, you know, announcing a person and just having all kinds of people just, you know, going goo-goo and gaga over this person. So that's been kind of fun to watch that.
Well, it's been fun having you on here, and we'd love to have you back. It's funny, I have a couple people in their early 20s who may or may not listen to me for the politics or the laughter. Their name's Karen Ryan, and when they heard that you were coming on and talking about your event, they're like glued to the AM dial. So,
well, I would say that we have stuff at the show for anyone from their teens up through their 70s. We're going to have people that they're going to remember. We're going to have iconic figures of people from the past and some great stars of today. And so it's not really just for those geeks that are in their, you know, mid-20s that, you know, play video games and have that kind of life. But it's for everybody. It's for people like myself that grew up watching certain iconic people.
Is that the next genre, really, the video games, where you have maybe video game designers or video game players? Because that seems to be a category unto its own.
You know, and they do have their own shows, and we will have a presence with video game stuff at our show. But I know that there are a number of big shows all across the country where people come, just like the movie releases, they'll come and release new games. They've got people who play them. They've got, you know, so you can watch experts. And there's just, there's celebrity in every aspect of this. There's celebrities who play video games. There's, you know, people who are really into this stuff. So they kind of have their own thing, but we will have a presence with video game at our show as well.
People want to get more information about Tree City Comic Con. What can they do?
They can visit our website at www.treecitycomiccon.com. If they want to talk, you know, if they've got a product they want to talk about, you know, having at the show, or any kind of opportunities for a business, whether it's a booth, we're looking for vendors, or, you know, maybe somebody wants to sponsor, they're certainly welcome to email me at kevin@treecitycomiccon.com.
Kevin, we appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate you coming on.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Show for anyone from their teens up through their 70s. We're going to have people that they're going to remember. We're going to have iconic figures of people from the past and some great stars of today.
Giving Idaho a reason to get out of bed. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, recovering from injuries, recovering from a lot of issues, getting back into the workplace. Joining us now to talk about a guide for nurses dealing with substance use disorder, we have local residents Carolyn Crowley and Carrie Morgan with Kevin Miller here at 580 KIDO. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what happens when we get in an accident and then we have to get back to work. It's easier said than done.
It can be easier said than done. Say it's you and you've been in an accident and you've been on opioids, which are prescription pain meds, for a long period of time, and then you try to get off and you can't. You think you still have pain, and maybe you do. So you might have developed a dependence on a prescription drug.
And our book is about reentry for people dealing with substance use disorder, which is a very long name for addiction, and so we talk about the road back to normal living and being a contributing member of society after you've become addicted to prescription medication, which is a rampant issue, unfortunately, these days. So it is a long road, and it is a very possible to do that. And there's, unfortunately, we don't have enough education about prevention and early detection out there. So our book is really to help get more education and for nurses who themselves may have become drug dependent or working with patients or other coworkers who may have drug dependency issues.
Well, we have become a drug dependent society.
That's right.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, it's a good news
problem in America.
Thing. Right. Casey, you have some statistics on that.
Yeah, Centers for Disease Control has said that it's an epidemic. Nearly two-thirds of American families have direct experience with alcohol or drug addiction. And opioid pain relievers, the pain
prescription pain medicines are responsible for drastic increases in the number of visits to the emergency rooms. Excuse me.
Well, yes, exactly. Now, y'all are local, aren't you?
We are. Yeah, yes, we're Boise residents. I was born in Idaho. We're natives. Yeah, it's interesting that we got...
I was born in Michigan, but moved. Go ahead.
Well, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's interesting that little old Idahoans got asked to by a Nurse Honor Society publicist to write a book for nationwide and internationally for nurses dealing with addiction issues.
Well, it seems like when you go to the doctor, they just give you the stuff like it's candy.
We sometimes call it the candy machine. You know, it's go ahead, Casey.
One person dies every 19 minutes from prescription drug abuse in the U.S. That's just huge. It's gotten so bad in the last few years. So we need to start looking at it. We need to put more money into education and treatment. There's been over $350 billion per year is spent on substance use disorder or related things. And 98% of the monies that are spent on dealing with the mess that comes from that, putting them through the judicial system instead of putting it into education and treatment. Only 2% goes to education or treatment. We need to change that statistic.
Well, indeed. So if people are interested in your publication, where can they get it?
Nursingknowledge.org.
Yeah, you can't be drinking the coffee while we're having the interview, ladies.
Nursingknowledge.org.
But it is coffee.
it's the book is called Reentry, A Guide for Nurses Dealing with Substance Use Disorder. That's a mouthful. But if you look up Reentry and nursingknowledge.org, or if you Google it, you know, reentry and something about nurses dealing with substance use disorder, you'll be able to find it.
Sure.
And so we appreciate
that. And I have to say, Kevin, even though it's meant for nurses or was originally meant for nurses, there are a lot of chapters in there that deal with anyone dealing with substance use disorder.
Well, and before and before we go, ladies, let me jump in here at 580KIDO. This is something that you all deal with all the time, and again, it's very important. What's the number one thing people can do if they feel that they are getting addicted or they are addicted to the prescription drugs?
That's a fantastic question. Ask for help. And go ahead, Casey.
No, ask for help. There's such a stigma in our society, and we need to get over that. We need to make it safe for people to talk about it so that it doesn't just go underground. So that people will talk about it and will ask for treatment.
And Casey, you're a resource for that. Would you, Carolyn, give them your contact information?
Yes, I have a group called InsideSupportGroups.com. Somebody could look it up on the internet. But dealing with not just nurses, but anybody that's going through this issue, they can take a look at the website. They might be able to find some information there. Or join one of our groups.
All right.
And talk about recovery.
All right, ladies, good luck to both of you.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks for having us. It's a good topic. We need to talk about it.
And when I think of drugs, I'm thinking of you two.
Nah.
About that. Think about recovery. We'd rather you think about recovery.
Well, certainly it is very important information, and we appreciate it. Quickly, the website, if people want to take a look at your publication.
Thank you very much.
Nursingknowledge.org for the publication, or they can look at InsideSupportGroups.com, and there's a link to it there.
All right. Well, you two have a great day.
You too, Kevin.
Thank you for having us.
All right. We appreciate it. Bye-bye. There we have it. Some nice young ladies, nurses from our area, writing a book about addiction. And in light of what happened to Robin Williams, I mean, you could have the best doctors, make the most money, and still... You know, you take a look at a lot of famous people. Our friend Glenn, who's on after us, battled addiction. Robin Williams, our friend, the big man that used to be on this station. OxyContin cost him his hearing. Do we really judge people? Now, I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Kevin, you're addicted to a cheeseburger. Well, I am, and as I've disclosed many times, you know, I'm on two blood pressure medications. And you take a look at what that does to you. Well, I mean, it's kind of tough to OD on the blood medication, but again, that controls my blood pressure because I can't control it. Whatever. And that's really about the only experience I've had with medication, except when I had my LASIK. It's like 10, 15 years ago now. And I was sitting there. I never had Valium before. And I said, a guy gave me one. I go, no, I need another one. And you could, just by having that Valium, you could see why where people would get used to that. And that's like nothing like Ambien or nothing like a Xanax or nothing like some of the things that people are on all the time. And, you know, when do we stop? Sometimes I think we've become the golden corral of drug usage in our country today, where we, you know, I'll take a Xanax, a Valium, and wash it down with some whatever. Take a look at the death of Heath Ledger. You take a look at Philip Seymour Hoffman. And drugs are dangerous. And we can't lose sight, once again. You know, when we started this program almost 5 years ago here at 580KIDO, it was responsibility, accountability. And those are truths that we need to have, whether it's drugs, whether it's a cheeseburger, regardless. It's not up to the government. It's not up to anybody else. It's up to us, especially parents and grandparents and those folks that are guardians or what have you, right? Let's get you to work safely and
on. Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
K Millie in the morning. You know, we have a choice here. We can go to Jonathan Carl smacking the White House saying, quote, isn't it hypocritical for the president to take money from companies he's condemned? Or we can keep it right here, Cactus, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Unfortunately, that's the only big radio voice that I have. And we could take a look at an issue that we've kind of talked about all morning, and that is the issue involving metal detectors on college campuses here in Idaho. Now, you might have been living under a rock. You might have not heard it on the TV last night, or perhaps you read it in the paper that now they're going to have metal detectors at BSU, and it's all because those gun guys, gals, they were the ones that wanted to bring concealed carry on the college campuses, and now it's going to cost more money, more money to install these things. And we've had people saying, look, I'm not going to buy tickets to BSU anymore just because I believe in conceal and carry, and it's kind of ridiculous to put metal detectors up there. Do we believe that people did not use metal detectors before? Do we believe that we were free of guns and gun violence and the hoodlums and everything else before? Is this a practical, safe move, or is it a political pushback? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We had a young man call in and say, look, I'm going to go buy tickets because I want my daughter protected, and I think that we have to get rid of the stigma that there are bad people that carry guns. I've been very blessed to meet many of you that open carry. Heck, you remember our town hall meeting, which one, Kevin Miller, when we used to do them, where we had tons of people carrying the firearms. And then I saw a guy in the back with an M16. And he had a full magazine in there. And I go, only in Idaho. You wouldn't see that in Illinois. You wouldn't see it in any of those other decadent eastern states. However, there has to be a level of trust. And I think what it comes down to, whether you're for gun rights or gun grabbing, is do you trust your neighbor? Not that neighbor, but do you trust the good neighbors? You trust yourself? Or do you trust the government? We saw it in Caldwell this week when we had the big MRAP coming in to take down a guy, and he got away. How does that happen? Anyway, that's really significant. Do we need metal detectors? I don't think so. Now, you want to have metal detectors in public schools? Yeah, okay. But to go to a football game, it is ridiculous and irresponsible. And I still take issue with the writer for the Statesman that speculated that it would allow people to carry guns to Broncos Stadium. That's not having a smart, intellectually founded debate. It's hyperbole, it's emotionalism, and it's dishonest. But the guy writes an opinion piece, so he's doing his job. 67 right now in Star, Idaho. Let's get you to 580KIDO's. Hey, it is Millie in the Morning. Coming up, it is Friday. Don't forget the Flapjack feed next Thursday. Good day. God bless. No matter what, no matter where, keep the faith.